in the limelight.
In the United States, where inflation is at its highest in four decades, the latest chatter on Wall Street is that the U.S. Federal Reserve will take every opportunity to raise interest rates. This will happen between now and the end of the year. We have prepared for you an article written by Larry Elliott under the heading, Central Banks Should Be Cautious in Calibrating a Response to Inflation. The article has been published by the British newspaper The Guardian. Central banks are getting twitchy about inflation. Cost of living pressures are rising just about everywhere. And the relaxed mood of last autumn has been replaced by an urgency that could soon become panic. In the United States, where inflation is at its highest rate in four decades, the latest chatter on Wall Street is that the U.S. Federal Reserve will take every opportunity to raise interest rates between now and the end of the year. Seven times in all. Inflation figures for the United Kingdom were out on Wednesday, 16th of February, and even though little change is expected this month from the 5.4% recorded in December, further increases are expected by the spring. The Bank of England forecasts should be taken with a pinch of salt because they have been wrong for the past year. But for what it's worth, Threadneedle Street now predicts inflation to peak at just over 7%. The Bank of England and the US Federal Reserve are getting stick for waiting so long before taking steps to rein in inflation. It is said the United States and the United Kingdom economies are overheating as the threat from the pandemic recedes, one reason being that central banks have delayed putting up borrowing costs. This might seem a compelling argument, but the idea that the United States, the United Kingdom, and the big economies of the Eurozone are in the middle of a rampant boom doesn't square with the facts. Officials claim the fastest growing G7 economy over the past 2 years has been the United States, where output has increased by 1.5% on average. The next best performing country has been France, where economic growth has averaged less than 0.5% a year. Britain's output is 0.4% below its pre-pandemic level, while Germany and Italy have still more ground to make up. So where is the inflation coming from? The answer is that prices are rising more quickly than they were because of supply-side pressures. As economies lifted restrictions and demand has returned to more normal levels, although not boom levels, severe bottlenecks have emerged. Everything from computer chips to natural gas has been in short supply, and that has pushed up inflation. This was the explanation the US Federal Reserve and the Bank of England trotted out last summer and autumn when price pressures first started to bite, and it was broadly right. Yes, they said interest rates would need to be raised from their emergency levels, but there was no great urgency because their economies were still operating short of where they would have been in the absence of COVID-19. In any event, increasing the cost of borrowing would have zero impact on global energy prices. The Bank of England had an additional problem, which was that Rishi Sunak, the Chancellor of the Exchequer, removed some of the support the Treasury was providing for the economy last autumn. With the benefit of hindsight, the end of the furlough did not lead to the feared rise in unemployment, but there was no way of knowing that at the time. As a result, the bank's Monetary Policy Committee responded to the Chancellor's tightening of policy by keeping interest rates lower than they might otherwise have been. As the National Institute for Economic and Social Research pointed out recently, it would have been preferable had policy been the other way round, with a less aggressive approach by Rishi Sunak providing space for the bank to raise interest rates modestly. The Bank of England and the US Federal Reserve subsequently realized price pressures were more acute than they had predicted, while unemployment fell more quickly. This raised concerns that workers would use the bargaining power provided by a tight labor market to secure higher pay awards. If, say, an annual inflation rate of 7.5% in the United States led to salary increases of 8%, a wage price spiral redolent of the 1970s would then set in. In the short term, inflationary pressures are likely to persist. The first 3 months of 2022 will be an echo of the last summer, as restrictions are lifted and economies open up. Those people who have built up savings during lockdown now have cash to spare to buy a new car or book a foreign holiday. Firms will have trouble filling vacancies, while energy costs will remain high as long as there is a tension between Russia and the West over Ukraine. The cost of a barrel of oil is already closing in on $100. Things look a lot trickier from spring onwards. In Britain, energy bills and taxes both go up in April, and it will become clear to many workers that their wages are not keeping up with inflation. Cost increases that were initially inflationary will turn deflationary as they add to costs for business and squeeze consumer spending power. Recently, thousands of university workers in Britain have gone on strike in a dispute over employers' policies and pensions, pay and working conditions. The University and College Union, UCU, said in a statement, on day one of the strike planned for coming weeks, large number of university workers on Monday, 14th of February, formed picket lines in Glasgow and London, chanting slogans, playing music and holding DIY banners. The University and College Union said the staff of 44 universities, including the Universities of Cambridge, Leeds and Edinburgh, are joining the strike this week to protest brutal pension cuts. In coming days, 50,000 staff from around 70 universities are expected to walk out over the employer's proposal, which would see the average staff member losing 35% of their retirement income. The University and College Union General Secretary, Joe Grady, who joined the picket line at the University of Strathclyde in Glasgow, acknowledged the great support from students. Joe Grady remarked, "The response from students has been overwhelming, and I want to thank every single one of them for standing with us." Grady said the University and College Union has put forward several compromise proposals, but the university employers have failed to accept any of them, referring to thousands of university and college union members who have joined the strike. She said vice-chancellors should not doubt the resolve of our members, who are determined to stick this out and win what they deserve. Regarding the pay dispute, the University and College Union is demanding a £2,500 pay increase, as well as action to tackle unmanageable workloads, pay inequality, and the use of insecure and exploitative contracts. The development comes on the heels of a recommendation by the Universities and Colleges Employers Association, UCEA, which said the university should dock 100% of pay for staff who work to rule as part of the forthcoming industrial action. Joe Grady complained, "It is outrageous that when they should be trying to resolve this dispute, employer representatives have instead been finding new ways to deduct pay from university workers." She added, "Rather than punishing the workforce, these so-called leaders need to look in the mirror and ask why students support staff taking strike action, and why their own workforce is so demoralised." The strike, which is the latest in a long-running dispute, has caused disruption to normal activities of the country's largest universities. In late 2019, The university and college union staff at 60 universities initially went on strike, which grew to 74 institutions in a second wave of strikes in February of 2020. Against this backdrop, the Bank of England needs to calibrate its response carefully, as does the US Federal Reserve. Central banks clearly feel their credibility will be at risk if they allow inflation to take hold, and that means a more aggressive approach to interest rates that seemed likely as recently as late last year. There is a way that central banks can emerge with their credibility intact if they are right in believing inflation is currently a supply-side problem. Only a limited tightening of policy will be needed. Inflation will come down with only a small increase in unemployment. The Bank of England and the US Federal Reserve will then be the heroes of the hour. Of course, there is an alternative scenario in which central banks act tough but still damage their credibility, which is what will happen if they add to the pain already coming the way of their economies through interest rate overkill. The growing risk of that would quickly turn the recovery of early 2022 into a recession of early 2023.